Well, with that said, the Spirit of the Living God is really what we're going to sing when it comes to the end. But think about the Spirit of the Living God as we celebrate what we call Holy Communion. I wonder what that clicking was. The battery in my clock just went dead, and it's up here clicking and flashing. Why do we even think about what Jesus did in the upper room? And why do we celebrate it as a means of grace? And that's really what it is. Because we think about servanthood, Jesus ministering to his disciples, teaching them how to serve. And then he instituted something real special because they were all familiar with the story of being delivered from slavery in Egypt and spending all them days in the wilderness and different things like that. And they celebrate the Passover, which they put the blood on the post where the death angel would pass over those little certain things. So they call it Passover, and they would religiously celebrate that memory. And it was wonderful. But when they were in the upper room preparing for the Passover feast or the Seder, which is just an order of worship, and they go through all the rituals of it, and the breaking of the bread is very important. When Jesus lifted it to heaven and he said, Father, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of this wheat, thank you for the bread. And he blessed it, and then he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples. He said, this bread will represent my body, which will be broken for you. And then likewise, after supper in the Seder meal, there's four cups of wine. The third cup was the cup of redemption. I like to call it the cup of salvation. He lifted it to heaven and he said, oh, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, bless this cup. And then he said something to them that they didn't understand at the time. They come to understand it later. This cup will represent the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sin. Now, they knew in the Jewish teaching there could not be any forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. But when Jesus told them that it was going to be his blood that would be shed for the forgiveness of sin, then they come to know later on what a wonderful, wonderful gift, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So with that, we take a very simple thing, either bread and wine, and come to the altar, or just think about it even. And you can do this at home too. Sometimes if you ever want to have communion, just get yourself some saltine crackers and a little bit of Welch's grape juice and maybe set at the table, and like we did with that Lenten series, Jesus around the table. And you can celebrate Holy Communion anytime, anywhere. John Wesley used to celebrate communion a lot. I don't know if he did it daily, but according to his journal, he did it a lot. Because it's a way of just taking time of remembrance, of memorial. We think about memorials and things that we do for memorials, but that's what this is, really. It's just taking time to be holy. If I can, where's Judy when I need her? If you did that little thing, one of the side effects of diabetes in this hand is my fingers are slipping. And I can't seem to grab a hold of things. I got it. Hallelujah. And there is a wafer, which represents the bread. Episcopalians and Catholics and some other denominations use these wafers all the time in communion, rather than bread. And I always wondered about it, because when you take this little wafer and they say this is the body of Christ and you put it in your mouth, it's bland. Ugh. But then when you take the cup, which represents the blood of Christ, and you take it, your taste buds come alive. And you get to say, thank you, Jesus, for my life. And thank you for forgiveness of sin. Because of the shed blood of Christ. With that said, all of God's people said, Amen.